Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and we're having a treat tonight. We're on live on air with your astrological wizard and mine, Linda Sherman. Linda is very well known for both her astrology and her focus on things that are happening on the planet, on the world, on politics, and on the planets. And oh my goodness, I can hardly wait to ask you questions, Linda. Linda's written two books about the future, what's happening on our planet, called Fast Forward and, wait a minute, I know what it is, I've forgotten. Fast Forward and What Next? And they actually talk about just what the titles suggest. So Linda, do help us out with dealing with the crazy times on our planet. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
And it's so fun to talk. Well, I don't know if it's fun because sometimes you make my hair stand on end.
Well, I make my hair stand on end, too.
Well, I guess we don't even need a hairdresser, do we?
We don't.
And you were talking, I was looking at your newsletter called Soothsayer.com, the most current one, because you're very good at keeping us up to date. And you were saying there's some pretty rambunctious planetary influences going on right now. And you and I know the primaries are going on. And I don't know, I've got people wanting to ask you questions and call in about, is this the end of the world? Or like, what the heck's going on? Do you want to give us a little bit of the energy thumbnail for now before we get into actual specifics?
Well, you're talking about this month and into June. Yes, I think the reason we're having what many people, especially people in the old paradigm, think is a crazy election is that we're dealing with a period in history that some people call the end times, and I also call it the end times and the dividing line into the new world and the new times. Which,
well, that's very positive.
Whenever you are people living through the collapse of the old system, which is no longer viable, I should say systems in the plural, that we see the consequences of the loss of wealth, the concentration of wealth in the hands of 62 people own approximately 80% of the world's wealth right now.
Isn't that remarkable, you know? I was feeling left out, but it looks like I could just take a number, huh?
Yes, exactly, where people are feeling it. And I spoke about it many years ago, my first book, What Next? A Survival Guide to the 21st Century. I spoke about the 2008 stock market crash and a long depressionary cycle. And I wasn't just talking about the United States. I was talking about the world at large. And we're seeing before us, in addition to the meltdowns in the Middle East, which I call the axis of medieval, we've seen the meltdown there in which we have interfered all in the cause of oil over the years, and it's now there's a massive blowback from our interference and our dominance in these regions. So, and we see climate change that is expressing itself more fully every day of our lives, and we see around us the political system, the economic system, the environmental system of Earth itself, all coming to a point of either collapse or reset.
Hmm.
And my feeling is that 2017, I call it the new 2012 because people were excited about 2012 and the Mayan calendar ending that cycle. But the 2017 is when the winter solstice actually hits the center of the galaxy at 27 degrees Sagittarius. And Saturn reaches that degree. And every time in history that Saturn has reached that degree, at least in American history, we've had a major, major stock market crash and financial deep-seated recession. And all we did was prop up what I call the banksters in 2008.
I know.
And now we have on our hands, we're going to have the bigger one. Now, the reason that we're so crazy right now is that there was a Uranus-Pluto square that was in effect between 2012 and the end of 2015. And now Uranus has separated from the square to Pluto. Pluto having to do with crisis, death, rebirth, and the concentration or movement of wealth and power. And Uranus having to do with freedom, liberty. I call Uranus the Patrick Henry of the zodiac, or else. And he represents the people at large. And now that Uranus is pulled away from Pluto, the people at large, especially here in the United States, are kind of everywhere. But here, where we do cherish at least the notion of liberty and freedom and opportunity, are really, really angry. And so you have the Donald Trump campaign, who's promising us, he says you're mad, and he's using really white supremacy, racism, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, anti-everyone. He's going to knock them all off. He's personality driven, mm-hmm. which he is a master of the modern media. He is an absolute master of the modern media. He knows how to use things to whip people up. And people are so angry, they do not care that he flip-flops on every single issue or how
military... They just want him to be disruptive, don't they?
Yes, they are so mad. They're looking for somebody like him to be mad with them.
Mm.
So there, and then you have Bernie Sanders, who says many of the same things that Trump says, but he's not personality driven. He's issue driven.
Mm.
So he stands up there, and he's a very humble person, and he is very dedicated and devoted to service. And he stands up there and says these things, that the system has been rigged. The trade agreements have thrown our jobs out of the country, have destroyed the environment. What many people don't realize about these horrific trade agreements, two things. The corporations left the United States so that they could escape taxation, so that they could outsource to cheap labor abroad. And so the biggest thing of all was they didn't have to adhere to any environmental laws when they were manufacturing things. And the trade agreements have given the transnational corporations and banksters autonomy over sovereign law of a nation.
Wow. Now, Obama said they're all coming back and they're paying their penalties and everything. Is that right? Is he lying?
No. I don't know whether he's out and out lying, but what is happening is that the... in these trade agreements, certainly in the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, which, by the way, they haven't voted that in yet. There's been so much resistance to it. Mm. But in the NAFTA agreement and all these other trade agreements, it's written into them that a corporation can sue a sovereign nation if the people of that nation prevent them from making a profit. With one. Now, let me give you an example. Right now, you know, TransCanada, who owns the XL pipeline.
Right.
By the way, the tar sands fire in Alberta is from those pits there. This absolutely horrendous, the worst fire in Canadian history. It's burned down all these forests and evacuated 88,000 people. Right. That's the tar sands area. Mm-hmm. And the XL pipeline was started up in, I believe, North or South Dakota and sprung a leak and has destroyed their underground aquifers up there.
Oh, my
they
gosh.
They're suing TransCanada, who owns the tar sands, is suing the U.S. government and the taxpayer for preventing them from building the rest of that pipeline across the center of this nation, which would threaten all of our precious aquifers.
Wow.
Now, that's one example. Europe, Germany after Fukushima, the ongoing disaster that's pouring radioactive cesium into the Pacific Ocean and landing on the west coast of America, after Fukushima, Germany made a decision they were going to systematically shut down all of their nuclear plants and try to go sustainable energy production and had a long-term plan. A Swedish company sued the nation of Germany and the German taxpayer for preventing them, for interfering with their profits because they would no longer buy nuclear parts from that company.
So you're saying it's the corporations, it's not the country itself.
Exactly. The corporations, and there's a tribunal, a corporate-backed tribunal that makes these decisions. So all of a sudden, our laws, our government, our citizens, and our environment have no more control.
Wow.
Just the corporations. So these are the facts that people need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I am seeing people's lives just in such major calamities. Good people who worked hard, educated people, kind people, who their jobs have been systematically shut down, or if they can get something, they're working at unbelievably low pay. And many people listening to this show, I'm sure, have experienced many of these things. Now, these are all things we know that climate change, that the oil and gas companies have denied this up until recently, where they can't deny it anymore. The pollution, what's happening to the ocean, all of these things. We are at a point where human civilization, the people at least who are lucky enough or whatever to remain alive in the next 20, 30 years, are going to decide the fate of humanity and much of the fate of life on Earth. Now, being one of the disadvantages of being, predicting these things is no one wants to listen. So I have been.
I do. And my people want to listen tonight.
Well, for many, many years, and then years later, why didn't I get out of the stock market? Why didn't I do this? Because the same reason that I would probably feel if I were on the other end, it's so hard to grasp because all of us depend on a certain homeostasis in our lives. We hope we can trust our institutions. We hope when we turn on the faucet that clean water will come out, except, of course, for those in Flint, Michigan, and many other places throughout the country.
Right.
We hope that our government is acting in our interest. We hope that the policeman is acting in our interest. Well, guess what? In the past several years, we have found out that, as Bernie Sanders said, the system is rigged and we're not included. And my feeling is I was always, you know, nobody wanted to see me walk in the door of a party. But now I want to say clearly on your show that I am long-term optimistic. Because what I am seeing is such a change in awareness and consciousness. And frankly, although Hillary Clinton has the delegates right now, Bernie Sanders has done us such a great favor. And many of the young people, the college students, who are graduating terribly in debt to massive, because colleges are now being run like transnational corporations. Everything is for profit. Nothing is for the people. There's no balance between private enterprise and the giant and the government. The government is bought by private enterprise. Our founders believed in checks and balances. The power had to be shared, and one entity checked it against the other entity. When most people are bought out by the wealthy elite, there are no checks and balances. And in the long run, even they will lose. So my feeling is too many people are now waking up. Uranus is going berserk.
I like that fact.
But maybe.
But hang on. Let me ask you one question. Is there any point in trying to get Citizens United overturned, or is it way past that?
I don't see that it is pointless at all. It depends on who is going to get into power, not only who's going to be president, but who's going to be in the Senate and House. And but I have a feeling eventually it will be, because it's about money. It's about a Supreme Court that said money talks. Money, big money, should be allowed to buy elections.
Wow.
Allowed in campaigns. And that's what Citizens United passed in 2010. And the my feeling is it will probably be eventually overturned. But I feel that the big thing, which is always the bottom line throughout, is two things: Mother Nature and the economy. And basically, the economy in 2017, I'm saying to all of my readers across the board, get out of the stock market this year, sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Get into a cash position, hold some gold and silver coins on the side, stock your basement, I sound like a prepper, with some dried food and water, because we are really headed for a major, major, serious collapse of the financial situation. And the Federal Reserve will come into question whether it will still exist between 2018 and 2019. And we will be, there is going to be such a transformation. Now, there are some people in the government that have some solutions ready. But my
Who are they?
I think they're Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and the people around them, Alan Grayson. There's some people there that are that have thought this out, and they want to restore what was the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated investment banking from regular lending banking.
Okay.
Those two entities, which when Clinton was president, by the way, and the Republican Congress got rid of that Glass-Steagall Act and deregulated Wall Street in the 1990s. And Wall Street has been basically hedge funds and derivatives. Right now, the global derivatives is around $800 trillion.
Oh, my gosh.
More than bets,
oh
by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I know. That's last time we talked, you said it was something like 3 or 4, so that means it's just escalating, eh?
Well, this is a global figure. It's probably greater than that if you include the dark market.
Okay.
But the in the United States alone, it's probably $3.5 trillion, the last I looked.
Well, let me ask you this. About astrologically, with the planets doing what they're doing, it's that that's kind of heading us to globalization in a way that makes it a global issue when things collapse. Am I right? This is
absolutely.
Not,
They wanted it that way, and now they've got it. If things are going bad in Europe, we already know the Middle East has really pretty much disintegrated. We're witnessing the end of the age of oil, but it will not go down without. Saudi Arabia just appointed a new oil minister, and prices are starting to rise now.
I thought they were doing green now. I thought they were doing solar.
Well, there are solar things going up in Saudi Arabia, but they're still got the largest known amount of oil reserves in their entire economy.
Wow.
Is based on oil, as is most of the Middle East. And, of course, you have Syria, which is disintegrated, and all these immigrants, which is so sad and tragic, and Europe being overwhelmed with immigrants. And then you have Grexit, you know, the Greeks. I think the Greeks are just going to exit the European Union, which I do not see holding together in the next 5 to 6 years. I think that's going down. Everything that the globalism, global trade, no one objects to global trade, but that's not what we've had. We've had a mafia-style group of multi-billionaires who
oligarchies,
all of their taxes. You know, the Panama Papers that just
right. Oh, yes.
Connections with 200 different heads of state, also American capitalists. They're all stashing. No one wants to pay taxes, which finance the public commons and the infrastructure.
Right.
They want to escape taxation. They want to hold all the money. They want to pass it on to their heirs. It's like the old monarchies. It's like we've gone back to the Middle Ages and reducing the common person to serfdom.
Do you think it's going to even out because a whole bunch of people are going to die? Do you think it's going to go that way? You know,
well, there
including
will,
some oligarchs, right?
Will be. No, there's no question. A lot of people have already died in these wars, environmental catastrophes. There will be, of course, people in the wrong place at the wrong time. But as we get into the 2020, I want to say very firmly, we have the astrological support for such a major transformation. There's a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius, December of 2020, which I think will mark the bottom of this global depression.
Okay.
And in 2024, Pluto goes into Aquarius. And the last time that transited was the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution. I feel that we're going in to the greatest transformation humanity has ever seen. If we can survive the failure of the previous paradigm. See, you're a paradigm shifter.
We're all trying to be, aren't we? Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you are.
Somehow ride the crest of that.
Let me ask you a few questions, because some people gave me questions for you. And one of them from Peg was, is it because, are there like sunspot, are there some like incredible planetary dynamics coming up to sort of whip things into action and create sort of blocks and changes? Is that also what's going on?
Of course. Well, as an astrologer, my feeling is that big players like Pluto, Uranus, and this retrograde Mars that we're under right now as well, and their relationship to one another is behind when we see these kinds of major planetary shakeups. We see societies shaken up. We see the environment shaken up. Yes, there are things behind this. Now, along these lines, in terms of science and technology, also we found the God particle under the Pluto-Uranus square. We are making major breakthroughs in science and technology that we also predicted. And my feeling is when we get into the 2020s, there are going to be several major things. One, we're going to have a near-perfect battery. Now, to some people on the other, that is everything. That is where Elon Musk is putting his money into the near-perfect battery, because the most efficient battery we have today is about 19%. And you know how your batteries are always going bad.
Right.
When you have a near-perfect, say, a 95% battery, you can store energy from solar and wind, so you don't just have to get a small percentage of energy when the sun is out or when there's wind. You can store the energy. So sustainable energy, we get closer to it. Secondly, we're going to have something even more significant, I think, in the 2020s, and that we are going to have nuclear fusion. Now, nuclear fusion is basically hydrogen fusion, which is what's going on the sun right now.
Okay.
We recreate it and we harness it. There's no pollution. There's no uranium or plutonium or any of these horrible things that are leaking out of our many nuclear plants today into the environment. There's none of that. And they've already got a fusion reaction in the chamber in Germany, the one in California. I've been following nuclear fusion. They broke through at MIT last year in terms of electrical conductivity.
Now, it's not like fission in that it can rip us apart as the whole
right.
world.
Fission
yeah?
uses up the energy that is put into it. So there is no waste.
Okay.
There is no, it's a complete use of this power. And hydrogen is the most plentiful element in the universe. So there's no fossil fuel here. There's no, you know, pollution like we have a nuclear fission when we're using highly, highly toxic uranium and plutonium, which are leaching out and destroy the environment for 1,000 years. You know?
It's like Uranus and Pluto are the destructive elements in a way, even though they're inventive, right?
Exactly. And my feeling is that those inventions, among other things, will end the use of fossil fuel. Now, the other thing I see as an astrologer is Aquarius is a sign which is cold, you know, in terms of physical heat, where Leo is hot, Aquarius is cold air. My feeling is that there may be a extended Maunder minimum. And when I looked at these planets, I said, what act of God, in a sense, could change us from this drastic, dramatic, accelerating warming due to the fossil fuel usage?
Right.
And then I thought, how about a Maunder minimum? Well, there is what I call synchronicity in the world. A week later, I read an online column from a science publication, Science News, that one of the leading authorities in the world, who's a woman physicist, who specializes in studying the plasma on the sun, said that by the 2030s, we may have an extended Maunder minimum, which was behind the mini ice age that occurred in Europe and North America that lasted about between 300 and 400 years. Now, there are always maximums and minimums. We're just coming out of a Maunder maximum with the sun storms, and we're starting to die down into a short-term Maunder minimum.
So the Maunder maximum sun storms, that's why we have heat, like odd heat?
That's part of what's, yes. But every 11 years, that usually switches from a maximum to a minimum. So this is a normal cyclical change from one
to... Well, that's like El Nino, isn't it? Isn't that 11 years?
Yeah, sort of like that. But an extended Maunder minimum is a period for hundreds of years where there are a minimum number of storms on the sun, so that it produces a global cooling. So we may have a global cooling in where we have built up extreme warming due to greenhouse gases. And my point is it may give us a reprieve from the worst that the environmental scientists, the climatologists, are telling us now. They're talking about us as past tense and calling this the anthropogenic era of mass extinction.
Woo!
They're very pessimistic. And I am not as pessimistic because this is something they did not take into consideration. And this woman, who's an expert, is pretty sure because she does this. And I think it's going to be sooner than the 2030s. I think it's going to happen start in the 2020s. So my feeling is that the young people today have a mandate before them. I mean, they're facing things that their parents didn't face, you know, that in our country and everywhere. And these youngsters are going to have to figure this out and work it through. I feel that fundamentally, which I think you agree with, Veronica, the fundamental thing is going to be a consciousness shift, a consciousness change, where we're going to dig deeply within ourselves, our own psyches and minds and spirit, mind, body, and spirit will come together, and we will be able to invent our way out of this crisis. In addition which, we will realize that an economy that only benefits a few and beats everybody else up, that this ruthless, competitive, predator-prey notion of this is what human existence is about, is literally we're going to have to change that and say we have to live in cooperation with each other and in concert with life on Earth.
Wow, that would be exciting. Now, would you like to take a couple of calls? I don't like to interrupt you, but I've got a couple of calls here.
Absolutely.
Sharon from Washington, would you like to speak with Linda Sherman? Do we have anyone?
Yes, they must have walked away from the phone.
Is there another line, line 3, Sharon from Idaho?
No, there's not.
Okay.
I'm just going to hang up on the lady. I'm sure she's gone from the phone.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, she's going to be disappointed. All right, so Marilyn from Bellingham has asked if you think, Linda, that this is the end of U.S. elections.
No.
Okay. That was a simple answer.
That is no. No, I have a lot of faith in a certain American psyche that we have survived depressions and world wars and all kinds of things. And I think although America will dramatically change and many of the coastal regions will be underwater and I still say America, Canada, North America may survive the coming times better than almost any other place.
Wow.
I think we will have elections. However, we may review the way elections are conducted. We're going to have to clean them up. Because so much corruption, there's so much fraud. The state of Oregon, I believe, went to a paper ballot, and I think that's what we need to do because computers can be hacked into. I also feel that these primaries, if you're going to have primaries, let them be democratic rather than super delegates and limited numbers and things that can be manipulated.
And I was just visiting a friend in Oregon, and she said it seems quite easy there because everybody gets a ballot in the mail and they send it back in, and there's nothing to do with electronic boxes that can be shifted around. I have one more question here from Bob in Bellingham area, and he wanted to know if there's a similarity at all with the astrological alignment just in and around the Third Reich.
Actually, there has been, because the Third Reich emerged in the 1930s when Uranus was in Aries, where it is now. So what you have, but it's not, Uranus in Aries can influence people on, remember we had Tojo that arose in Japan, we had Mussolini that arose in Italy, we had the rise of these dictators, and of course which led to World War II, but there is, it's not identical because other things, but there is a similarity. Pluto squared Uranus in the 1930s, but Pluto was in the sign of Cancer at that point. This time it's in the sign of Capricorn. But we had the Great Depression, we had the rise of the Third Reich, and then when they changed signs, we had World War II. It's not identical, but it's startlingly similar, which is why I predicted that Wall Street crash and that we would be in something similar to the Depression of the 1930s. Yes, the answer to that is, but it's similar but not identical. And I think a lot of people are really concerned that with Trump talking about how he's going to invade everybody and control everybody and make America great and everything, he's talking like a demagogue and is reminiscent of how in a broken economy, a devastated Germany, how Hitler rose
right.
to power.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the same identical thing is going to happen here.
You don't think he's going to make it? Do you think that the Republicans are going to stay together, or are they going to become a different morph into a different?
The Republican Party, as it existed, say even last year, it's gone. They're going to have to completely re-examine themselves. But the Democrats are also at odds, not to the extreme the Republicans are. The problem is that neither party has represented the people. They've used sound bites. They've used fear tactics. They've gotten on board with religion and social issues and everything that should have nothing to do with politics whatsoever, and they've used them to get to win elections. A democracy is based on a well-informed public.
Right.
Our media, our mainstream media, is about ratings and is about profits, like everything else. So there is little or no information for people about issues, about what's really at stake and what's really going on. So people are, and these primaries, I think many of them are just disgraceful.
Yeah, they are. It's just a big show. What do you think about social networking? Meaning, what do you think about like the internet for like world spreading of world information that's helped people? Like Bernie has helped a lot of people wake up to what's really going on behind the scenes and how controlled we are. What do you think that the internet is doing? Is it not waking a lot of people up all over the world to develop a kind of unity? Because you were talking earlier about it has to be consciousness, right?
Yeah, it depends on, you see, people have to choose whether they're going to just tweet each other or get involved in looking at celebrities or, you know, what they're going to do. The internet is a massive thing. Are they just using it to buy products? Are they using it for extreme kind of crazy things? There are some. There are many, many good, like commondreams.org, Alternet, truthout.org, that display essays by Bill Moyers, Noam Chomsky, really, really great people who are talking about the times that we're in. It's wonderful information. They are all simply backed by donations. There's no commercials involved. There are sites you can go to, essays that you can get, or you can choose to go to very dark places. The internet is a tool, and it's a great tool for information, but it depends on how you are directing yourself as to where you're going with it. It's like television.
Mm.
Which channel are you tuning? Which program are you watching? It's your choice.
But it does have some huge connecting influence with people, for example, in China, Malaysia, Africa, doesn't it? It has that potential if people wish to seek it?
Yes. Oh, it does. But the problem I have is all of this technology just tweeting each other or texting each other in monosyllables and walking down the street and running into trees while you're texting is mindless, addictive, kind of superficial contact. The problem I really have is have we stopped critical thinking? Have we stopped honest investigative journalism and real critical thinking? It's been taken out. Civics and political science have been more or less removed from most schools.
Yeah, just partly because everything is so short. Now, I have a question for you from my wonderful caller named Jonquil, who lost apparently her position in line. And what she would like, is it okay if I ask you another question here? What she would like to know is how do we deal with parallel realities or truth and non-truth? That's a big question.
Oh, that's an enormous quote. We need a combination of Plato, Socrates, and Buddha.
But I had another way of putting a similar thing, which is vibrationally, people are waking up and getting more and more conscious. Some people are. And isn't it possible to create a reality which is more conducive to to a life for all? Even though the people beside you aren't doing that?
That's a very, very good question. And I think I've given these things some thought. I'm not any more of an authority than somebody else that you might ask that question. But my opinion is that I have seen in my own life is I think daily meditation is very important, once or twice a day. And in that meditation, and you can learn these skills, deep breathing, watching your breath, stilling the mind, whatever, when you take yoga or other forms, I think if we place ourselves in a position of being peaceful and open to the universe, recognizing that we are a part of all that is, that all that is in the universe itself, instead of being what we look out there is a whole lot of violent star activity and physics going on, is actually a conscious entity of which all of us, that we may be the universe, the divine universe, expressing itself in an infinite number of possible and probable ways.
Right.
And each one of us is one of the possible probable ways. And for a time, we seem to be confined in what I call the obstructed universe with a set of rules and regulations. When we achieve a certain level of enlightenment, I think, which I have not achieved, I want to make that clear, but the theory is, among the Buddhists and other religions, you achieve a certain level, you are at one with, you recognize this all that is and all the divinity and the love and the light, and realize that while you're still embodied in this form, that your mission may be very transformative, that you may be able to throw off the limitations and the boundaries. And you may also, when you, as you mentioned, changing your frequency or vibration, when you do that, you may pick up other people, other situations, other forms of life that are also experiencing that, and draw them into your network, into your framework. And in that, you may participate in the beginning of a mass transformation of consciousness to the places that you and I believe that we should be.
I love that, yeah. And
that answers anything. That's my.
It does. I love that a lot. You've really helped a lot, because when I understand, and you're the astrological wizard, but when I understand, for example, the yugas or the huge, the movements of energy in the universes that the Hindus choose to explain. I'm not saying I espouse everything. But that kind of explains astrology from a different perspective, doesn't it? That there's a move toward harmony coming in through the frequencies, would you say?
I do. I think that the planetary pictures that we see from planet Earth make us realize that we're not confined here. We're a part of a much bigger thing. We're part of our solar system. We're a part of the universe. And the format in which we have come in and manifested is so much larger. And just looking out at the stars, looking out at the planets, and realizing that we are a part of that stretches our psyche out so that we get out of our little hobbit world.
And maybe, yeah, have respect for other people's existence as such a huge thing.
And we recognize, the older I get and the more experience I had, the more I see, think, and feel how much a part of the life on Earth and other people and the universe I am. That's all I can say. The more experience I have, with people, and I do, I have had thousands and thousands and thousands of clients over the years I've been in practice. And to this day, I just feel, with so many people calling me to get some insight about their lives, I feel how they are like I am, that they are made of the same divine substance.
You mean there's no wall?
They struggle with, as I have struggled painfully in my life, to come to terms with losses and disappointments and fearful things and demons and everything. But there is a core reality there in which we are all participating in, that's beautiful, that's divine, and it's eternal. And every time I have intimate conversations with people and we're dealing with their lives, I feel that. At the core.
I love that. I feel that too, Linda. I feel that too. Wow. Well, now I'm going to drop back into the third dimension, which is sometimes not as expanded, obviously, you know. So you're saying things like on soothsayer.com, which is a very interesting newsletter and gives us some details to navigate the moment. You're saying don't take any wild trips over the next while, right?
Yes, right, right.
I think it's because
I felt that this month particularly was just still, April and May were filled with so many tensions and Mars retrograde, Mercury retrograde, and collisions with these planets. And that there would be really, really wild weather conditions. And there's been record-breaking tornadoes going through Texas, through Oklahoma, in that about just one right after the other. And I always feel when Mercury is in Taurus and afflicted or retrograde or whatever, we seem to get these kinds of things. So what I try to do is say, you know, if you're going to take a trip, if you're going to fly somewhere, you know, be very careful in advance before you decide to do that.
You mean just be, have it all nailed down and make sure everything's working and that sort of thing?
Yes. Yes.
You don't say we have to hide under the bed or anything.
Precautions where I was going. Because I just feel that the weather is, and boy, this has been a bizarre spring, I want to say.
Yeah, what's it like over there? Because it's been very hot here and quite cool. And I'm in the Northwest, which isn't always very hot in April, trust me.
Yeah, it's been very cold here in April. Been in the 30s and 40s. It's only recently we've come up to the 50s and 60s. Just the past couple of days, it's been unbelievably extended winter. And we did not have a severe winter. We didn't have a huge amount of snow or anything. But it's just been very odd. And the little Forsythia came out and died quickly.
Oh, really? Oh, the poor thing, hey? Well,
yes.
And what about volcanoes and things? I want to catch some of the physical plane things before we're finished tonight, you know?
I don't have a way of tracking which earthquake or which volcano, but I have been predicting in April, May through early June that my feeling is there's going to be an increase in tectonic activity, and there has been.
There
was an eruption of a large volcano in Mexico the end of April. There have been tremendous earthquake activity out in the Pacific, and some major things. It's very hard. I'm not enough of an expert. I can look when there's increased activity, but I really, it can't be that constructive because I can't tell you where, you know. And so far... These have been in areas where there haven't been a huge population.
We're glad about that. I was just going to ask you something kind of a little bit cheeky, I suppose, which is when you spoke of, what were you talking about, not volcanoes, but tornadoes in Texas and several different places. I think, if I remember correctly, those are places that didn't always have these kinds of things. A and B, is that related at all to their astrocartography? You see what I mean? I'm going, is there some kind of romance between where these new things are happening and the astrocartography?
Well, actually, there have always been a lot of tornadoes in Oklahoma and Texas, although more so in Oklahoma. I think what's going on, 60 Minutes did a piece on the Oklahoma earthquakes. There have never been earthquakes before, and since they've had massive fracking operations there in recent years, they've disturbed the earth's crust to the point where they're having earthquakes in Oklahoma almost every single day. They showed it, did a piece on 60 Minutes Sunday night about this. So that, it may be that's what you're thinking of, that the earthquakes in Oklahoma never, there's no history of that until they started fracking enterprises. And people have not discussed nearly enough. They talk about destroying our water supply and, you know, and all of this, but the Earth's crust, disturbing the Earth's crust in this way is a very dangerous thing. And
so are they going to stop all that, Linda?
Well, here in New York State, we outlawed it. Yeah, and we're in the Marcellus Shale, which is a big concentration of natural gas here. They're still doing it in Pennsylvania, and they've really contaminated so much of their environment there, but we stopped it here.
Do you see, prediction-wise, do you see that being stopped all over the place?
Eventually, yes. I think we're all going to recognize there's just been so much damage done, and yet we have created the biggest technological breakthroughs, a major civilization, powered by oil and gas. We've had energy that no human civilization has ever had before. We've created all that, and now we have to figure out what are we going to do? Go back to being peasants in the farm? No, I think we're going to have a completely different relocalized society.
And we can we clean up Fukushima?
I don't have the answer to that. They have not been able to do it so far.
Because when you say a new society, I'm going, my gosh. There's
another prediction that in April of 2017, I'm predicting another similar catastrophe in or around Japan, an earthquake, a giant tsunami.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's really kind of scary.
It is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I predicted the one that happened the first time.
You did. You saw it coming.
I did on my newsletter, and then they put me on Coast to Coast Radio because it had been previously posted. So my feeling is I'm feeling deeply sorry for Japan and the people there. Deeply sorry. Many of them have just risked their lives to go down there and to try to stop this massive meltdown. And many of them have lost their lives. They're desperately trying to fix this, and so far it is not fixed.
Wow. That's just incredible, isn't it? And yet we're building a new society, so there must be some way. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how they combine that possibility. Elon Musk is creating new life for new communities on Mars, isn't he?
Well, that's his dream, and he's a young man, and he may possibly think, you know, we have to solve human problems here on Earth before we go to Mars, which has no atmosphere, by the way. I mean, the monumental kind of creation of some kind of dome that we would live in that creates its own atmosphere so that life, oxygen, life can work. It's a huge test. It doesn't mean we won't do it eventually. I think Elon Musk, in many ways, may have given up on humanity on Earth. We've done so much damage that he's saying we've got to get into outer space and colonize something somewhere else. I just love Elon Musk. He's devoted to the service of humankind. He's using his billions of dollars, you know, in that service. He's a billionaire like Richard Branson. They're using their money to solve problems and to help humanity, and I have great respect for them. But I think right here on Earth that we have to wake up and recognize what we need to do humanistically, spiritually, economically, in every way, before we have any business going out there.
I'm sure the ETs don't want us out there.
Yeah. We'll just take our warlike tendencies with it, which all these science fiction books and movies and everything have us doing the same old thing out there in space that we did here, fighting with each other.
I know. It's really sad. Hey, Linda, before you go, any predictions about communications like media, Murdoch, mass communications, any huge statements about that? Because I think we're all kind of oppressed by that.
I'm not quite sure. You mean concerning the internet or devices or technology?
I think it's just, I was just saying media, like radio and television, terrestrial radio and television, and people like Murdoch who kind of have gotten this megalo group
well,
going.
Murdoch is one of the billionaires who's bought up these media, and he's in his 80s now, mid to late 80s, and he's turning it over to his family. He owns over half of the media, from Fox to USA Today to the Wall Street Journal. I mean, he's I think that we're going to recognize a lot about the media that is used for the purposes of the owners. That, again, corporate dominance. Corporate control of the media. We still have PBS. We have shows like this on the internet. and we have radio and a TV that are not all totally corporate controlled. Mm-hmm. So that's where our hope lives.
That's what I'm hoping. I thought you'd say, guess what? Media is going to be conscious all over the world.
Well, I think it's going to take a while until this corporate paradigm breaks down.
Yeah, I guess so.
We have this, and we're going to say, now, where are we going to go with this? And I think within the next 20 to 30 years, that's among all the things that we're going to be reexamining. How do we communicate with each other? Is this all about this nonsense broken up by commercials that we see?
I know, yeah, all this. But Linda, we're out of time, and I want you to tell people your information again. I really want people to keep up with your newsletter, which is just really a stunning revelation all the time.
Thank you, Veronica. My newsletter is www.soothsayer. That's SOOTHESAYER.com. You can, if you want to email me, it's soothsayer, the same thing with the E in the middle, soothsayer@usa.net. And my books are basically What Next and Fast Forward, which you can go and order them on Amazon and or off of my website.
And
a wonderful book on my website newsletter. I want to tell all your listeners, they need to go out and buy Veronica's book. It's moving and beautiful and insightful, and everybody should read it.
Thank you, Linda. And also, your books are insightful. And I want to say, for all the dire predictions, you always give us something to grow on. And I appreciate that so much.
It's my pleasure, Veronica.
Well, thank you, Linda Sherman, and we'll talk again. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters and paying attention to the future, according to Linda Sherman and the rest of us. Much love.